Well, I wonder if you recognize anyone in that picture. Oh, thanks. You know what? When I see that picture, there's so many other things in that picture that I should be appreciating and loving, but the first thing I notice is how weird my hair looks. But as you might be able to tell, this is a picture from the 90s. That's a few years ago. But that's, of course, Karen and myself with our daughter Aoife, who is being baptized by her grandmother, my mother. Sadly, I don't think any of you got a chance to meet my mom, no. But we lost her a few years ago, but this is, of course, a precious memory. And the three adults in that picture and all the others that were there, or many of the others that were there, remember that day fairly well. But the little one there, not so much, right? She was too little. She was only a few months old. And growing like a weed, but no, she doesn't actually remember that happening, of course. But it's really important that it happened. So tell me, if you have been baptized, as many of us have, do you remember your baptism? No. I see some folks nodding who remember their baptism. Whether you were baptized as a child, maybe a little older than this, and you remember, or you were baptized later in life as a young adult or an older adult. Think of that if you do remember it. And if you don't remember it happening, see if you can recall anything that you've heard about your baptism, what you've been told about it. And if you have never been baptized, imagine. We've had many scenes like this in this church over the 25 years of this building's history, and of course for many, many years in the previous building. In this congregation, we have baptized many children and adults and young adults too. Generally, the very young children we baptize don't remember it happening. But our daughter, for example, may not remember it happening, but over the years we have told her about it. When she was a child, we would pull out the candle once a year on the anniversary of her baptism and remind her. When we remembered, sometimes we forgot to in our busyness, but we tried to remind her and teach her that she was baptized, as well as our other child, our son Luke. She knows that she was baptized, and she knows that she is beloved and claimed by us, by the church, and by God. She knows that. In baptism, we celebrate that we are named as children of God. It's not the act that makes it happen. God loves us before we're baptized, but it's when we celebrate it, we recognize it, that God loves us and calls us their beloved child. We are claimed by God as God's very own. Not in the way that we would own a piece of property, but in a way that all of us would claim our children and grandchildren, or the family we have, the people that are closest to us. We claim them. They're ours, right? They're our people. And God claims us as God's beloved children. Does that mean that we always remember that? No. Does it mean that we'll always live with that in our minds? Unfortunately not. But it is true whether we remember it or not, whether we even recognize it or not. It's not a promise that can ever be revoked. It's not a reality that can change. You are a child of God. You are God's own beloved. Now, we can ignore it. We can even renounce it. But we can never, ever change it. And even after we've been baptized, it's still true. Even if we have never been baptized, it's still true that we are God's own beloved. Baptism helps us remember that, to celebrate it, and hopefully to live our lives with that awareness. Now, we'll go to the next slide, and I'll ask you, I don't know if any of you have seen or remember this old movie called Toy Story. From way back in the 90s when our kids were born. So it was popular in our household. And this is one of the central characters, Buzz Lightyear. There's a scene in Toy Story. Well, let me just give you a quick rundown. Toy Story is about a group of toys who are alive. They talk and they move on their own, although they try not to let the humans see that. But they belong, all these toys belong to one young boy named Andy. And they are much loved by that young boy. Well, there's a scene, Buzz Lightyear is one of the new toys on the block, a new gift that's given to young Andy. He's very excited. And Buzz is under the illusion that, as some toys apparently are, that he is a real space ranger. And doesn't realize he's actually a child's toy. And at a certain point, he has an argument with Woody, another main character, who says, "You are not actually a space ranger. You can't actually fly. You're not actually traveling in space. That thing that lights up on your arm isn't actually a laser." And this is a terrible realization for poor Buzz. He thinks then that means he's just not unique. He's just one of a million mass-produced products that all look the same, that he's not special. But his new friend, Woody, consoles him and tells him, "You must not be thinking clearly. Look, there is a kid who thinks you are the greatest, not because you're an actual space ranger, but because you are a toy. You are his toy." Then Bud lifts up his foot, as you can see on this picture. Can you see what it says on his foot? It says, "Andy." Andy, the name of the boy who loves him and has claimed him. He belongs to Andy, right? Buzz, when he sees that written there in permanent marker, the name of the one who loves him is written on him forever. And that's just a bit of an illustration of how through baptism, God writes their name on us. Maybe not on our foot in permanent marker, but on our soul. We are marked as God's beloved creation with whom God is well pleased. Our Bible reading today comes from the time when Jesus was just beginning his public ministry. He was about 30 years old, so we have fast-forwarded from the time he was a baby, which we just celebrated at Christmas. Around the age of 30, Jesus appears. And he's there on the banks of the Jordan River, where his older, slightly older cousin, John, is preaching up a storm. He is a prophet, a wild one. And John is baptizing people in the Jordan River to symbolize their repentance, their change, their return to faith and faithfulness, and their rejection of the things that hurt and diminish. And some people started to ask if maybe John was the Messiah, the promised one. So John responds to their question. He says, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to even untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And there, that day was Jesus. Jesus appears on the bank of the river, and along with all the others, he is baptized by John. But afterwards, after Jesus has come out of the water and is praying, there's a vision of the Spirit of God in the form of a dove coming down upon Jesus, and a voice is heard saying, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. You give me pleasure." God loves Jesus and reminds him at his baptism, and we continue that tradition of baptizing to remind ourselves that we are claimed by God, that we are loved by God. We are told that Jesus was about 30 years old when this happened. It was the very beginning of his ministry. This is how he started his ministry. He was baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, which in that society in those days represented the Greek symbol of the dove, represented love, deep love. And he heard it, "You are my beloved." We are claimed in baptism as beloved, and we are claimed and called to live as followers of Jesus. We like to say when we baptize folks, whether they're little or big, that we rise from baptism with new purpose as renewed people. Whether we are ministers or mathematicians, accountants or attorneys, stockbrokers or stay-at-home moms, pilots or professors, consultants or cashiers, retired or just tired, God has placed a call on our hearts through our baptism. A call to live a life of service to God and love for others. We are identified the same way Buzz Lightyear was identified by Andy, and then sent out to do the holy work, to be love. We are beloved and sent to be love for others. So, an ancient saying that goes back to the 16th, 17th century with Martin Luther. He said, remember your baptism and be glad. Remember your baptism and give thanks. And he didn't necessarily mean remember it happening, because most of us, many of us, can't. But remember that it did happen, that it is a reality. Remember that we have been claimed as Christ's own forever, and that remember that we are given new life and new purpose, and we are called into service to this world that God loves, with promises that were made at our baptism, and we are still, no matter how old we are, we're still growing into those promises. The promise to love God and love one another. The promise to care for this world that God loves. The promise to remember. In the biblical understanding of remembering, it's not just about cognitively remembering the events that happened. It means bringing that memory, that reality, into the present, to participate in it as a present reality in our lives. It's like when people all over in many different cultures will say, remember who you are. Sometimes we Christians say, or people of faith will say, remember whose you are. To remember our baptism is to remember who we are and whose we are. So today we remember and we celebrate. We bring that reality into our present awareness and participate in that reality in our lives today. What difference does it make for you that you are baptized? Or even if you haven't been baptized, that you are God's beloved child and claimed as such? You might want to celebrate that with us and be baptized if you have not been. Or if you have not affirmed your baptism that happened so long ago, we would welcome that opportunity to celebrate that with you. But whatever your status is, remember that you are beloved and you are called. The symbolism of water is one of the most elemental first symbols of our faith. And so as we remember the baptism of Christ today and reflect on our own baptism, I invite you to quietly listen now to this reflection. It's really kind of a visual prayer that's on video. And a couple of minutes into the video, some words are spoken and some words appear on the screen. And if you are so inclined, we might join together in speaking those words as we continue to pray in the reflection.
water is one of the most ancient symbols of our faith. It was water that the Israelites came through into freedom. It was water that Jesus was baptized in. It was water by which he called the disciples. It was water that he used to teach his disciples how to be servants to all. Today, we take a journey of our own discipleship through water and the Spirit. We let go of all things we do not need. We remember our belovedness. We recommit to serve others with joy. So let us now go down to the river to pray. In the beginning, water cradled us in the womb, holding us in suspension until we burst forth in the waters of birth. In the desert, a small drop of water causes life to bloom. A tiny drop of water can quench our burning thirst for justice. In the roots of our being, water provides sustenance. Without water, our lives would shrivel and wither. In the times when we feel sullied and broken, we long to be reawakened by soaking in forgiving, transforming love. Water is holy, a sign that we have passed through troubles, that we have been refreshed by a gift of life, sustained by a love poured over us. In the aftermath of water falling is the rainbow sign of God's continuing love at work within us and through us.